Before we finish our preparations for the lesson, I'd like to ask you, I see that you're a little bit tired, right? And kind of full. So, what do you like to hear? Huh? About Reshimot? Reshimot. Okay, more. Wait a minute, I'll write it down. Reshimo. Tfisat hametziut. Perception of reality. More? Education. This we've learned. None else besides him. What else? The yearning. Ishtokekut. Group work. We always talk about group work. Guys, come on. Don't just throw. Yes, what about the women? Something from the women. Wait. No desire in the women. Machsom. Barrier. Machsom. Tzimtzum Aleph. First restriction. Masach. Screen. More. Corrections. We always talk about corrections. It's too general. Shechina, divinity. Well, I don't know how to spell that. Shechina. Arvut, mutual guarantee. Arvut. Ashpa, bestowal. Ah, so now you're just going to throw all the words you know. No, seriously. A topic that is crucial, critical. So, all of that is A, Fatsa, Shpa. What about B? Something with B? Okay. Okay. We'll try. As you wish. We learn that the upper light, which is bestowal, created the kli, the vessel, which is a will to receive, a will to enjoy. And that vessel has evolved to the point that it reaches our state. And it shattered and became integrated. In that kli, there were two parts. One part closer to the light, called Galgaltainaim, and another part, which is the pure desire, and that's called Achap. So this is a desire to bestow, where the light is still at work. And this is a will to receive that is already a creature. And as they became integrated and broken, it follows that within us, within human beings in this world, please just take the volume up a notch, otherwise I have to speak louder. Just my monitor only, not the general speakers. So there is a part within us that is working as though in bestowal and reception. And so although all we do is within the ego, we still know how to give to others in order to get some benefit from them. That is, my Galgalta Enayim is also working in a way that I'm willing to give to another in order to get some profit. And that's what we're doing. We get integrated with each other, give to each other in order to benefit more from each other. So in order to correct ourselves, we enter a group, and in the group we wish to only integrate in our Galgalta Enayim. And our Achap, we don't want to use that. We don't want to be involved in that. If we succeed only being integrated in our common shared Galgalta Enayim, only our vessels of bestowal, as we call it, and we don't use our vessels of reception, we only build a system of reciprocal bestowal, we don't touch upon our vessels of reception whatsoever, this is called bestowing in order to bestow. And on that condition, we cross the barrier and the spiritual world opens up to us. This is also called don't do to your friend what is hated upon you. And that degree is called a righteous. It's called crossing the barrier. Eliminating the vessels of reception as though they don't exist. I do not do any harm to the others. I don't use the others. I don't demand anything from the others. I simply don't touch upon them. It's still not active bestowal, it's still not love, it's still not connection. Yet, it is nevertheless an ascent above my ego. I've risen above it, I don't use it. If we connect in such a way, then in that common part, we begin to feel the upper world, the spiritual world. This is called crossing the barrier. We've crossed it. Meaning we're working only above the vessels of reception, above our ego. Our ego is here. Each and everyone's ego. So, once we've crossed the barrier, here we feel light. The light of nefesh, or even the light of ruach, or the light of neshama. This is what we call naran. And according to the extent of that work, well, this world means within the ego. So when I rise above it, I rise above the machsom, the barrier. And here I've risen to the world of Asiya, that's the light of Nefesh, or the world of Yetzirah, with the light of Ruach, or the light, the world of Briah, with the light of Neshama. This is called my vessels of Galgalta Enayim, the vessels of bestowal in which I receive spirituality. These are very high levels. This is called crossing the barrier and correcting the reshimot, the recollections of Galgalta Enayim. What else did you want to know? Reshimo covered, machsom covered, masach covered, simtzum aleph for sure, because that means not working with my egoistic will to receive. And well, let's go back here. So this is how I reach the spiritual world, some of its levels, because all in all, as we spoke, from the world of Ein Sof, there's a descent to our world through 125 steps, and then I have to rise back up from our world to the world of Ein Sof. I rise through the same 125 steps, and then in my three vessels of Asiya, Yetzirah, Briah, above it is Atzilut, and above that is Adam Kadmon. Altogether, that's five parts. So now, I already reached the light of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. So I've reached thus far. That's the correction of Galgalta Enayim. Galgalta Enayim. Now, I have to correct another very important part. On the whole, I've corrected only a part of my vessel, which is called Galgalta Enayim. Which is the lighter vessels. Yet the heavier vessels, which I first didn't want to engage with because they're very egoistic, that's what we call a chap. So, I haven't dealt with them, and now I begin correcting them. And as I correct the vessels of Achab, there are two types of vessels there. And this means I reach the world of Atzilut with a light called light of Chaya. Let's write here Chaya. And then light of Yechida. Two more lights that I attain. And afterwards, all those lights connect together all the lights, and that is called the light of Ein Sof, infinity. And this state is called the final correction, or the end of correction. And this is how I reached the same state that existed before, just as the Creator created me. His light had fulfilled all of my desires, and therefore, in those desires, I was corrected as a corrected and well-connected system, just as cogwheels that are interconnected, so they all spin in harmony. So they can't move separately. Every little wheel... No, don't change my volume, please. I'm asking you. I don't know. Just keep it low and that's it. So, don't touch it at all. Just fix it once and that's it. So just as these cogwheels are all interconnected, and they were connected, yet spinning together harmoniously, in a way that everyone understands the whole system. Can you imagine all those many, many cogwheels, and they're all connected to each other, and they all move in a way that what one thinks, the second, the third, the fourth, they all think the same simultaneously, so that no one is starting, no one is finishing, they all do it together. Since they're all included in one mind, which operates them. And that's the Creator. Operating us in such a way that we are all, we all spin together like these cogwheels, because the upper light dictates to us how to move mutually, reciprocally, in various directions, yet all in one harmony. And this already existed in the first state, in the world of Ein Sof. Why is it called Ein Sof, which means no end? Because there is no limitation, rather ideal harmony between all pieces, because the upper mind of the Creator is working on all creatures, and they all follow His instruction. Just as in our world, It happens on the inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels. They all work according to instincts, which are instructions of nature. And what happened afterwards? The second state was that the upper light has departed. The cogwheels remained, yet they're no longer connected. There is no upper mind to connect them, to govern them, and determine all at once how they should move harmoniously. That harmony has left them, the general order. And they were left like little kids without their mother, just going wild, doing whatever they feel like. We're familiar with this, right? So that's us in this world. The Creator has left our sensation and left us on our own. And we see that indeed we're in such a state where there is no providence, guidance, no upper force, no reward or punishment. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Why? Por qué? So that we, of our own accord, will discover how we should be connected. That is, we'll grow without our mother, connect without her as good children, with a good connection between us. If we'll manage doing that, then we'll be as grown up and as wise as she is. But where will we get this mind from? We don't have that. We have a broadcast problem. In the group, to be connected, as though we are good to each other, we hug each other, we do mutual workshops and gathering of friends and all kinds of activities. For what? In order to eventually see that we can't connect, that we lack a force of connection, the mother's mind or father's. That force is not present. And if we come to such a state where we are incapable of connecting, it's a good thing. We're very afraid that if humanity discovers that it cannot correct itself, it'll go wild, rampant. And then, from the evil that will unfold, I don't know what can happen. Kabbalists write, even a world war, and this time, a truly global world, not just somewhere in Europe, but really all over the globe. So, we have to explain the wisdom of Kabbalah and have people know that we cannot correct ourselves or the world. Rather, we only need to ask. that the same upper light, in that place where we cannot be connected, we want it to come and connect us. Meaning I discover the lack where the connection needs to come, and the connection itself comes from above. Why did the Creator made it so? Because then we also attain connection with Him, His mind and His emotion, and then we rise to His level, to His dimension, which is vast, where He is present. Meaning, here we have a very big question mark. And this is called the prayer, the request, the raising of man. If we come to a state where we have to be connected, just as in the first state, we want the same state as in the first state to happen here, then it means that we demand our vut, mutual guarantee. The connection between us, so that all the wheels will spin synchronously with each other. This is what we want. How to be connected so that everyone will feel all the others and spin together with the others, not one after the other, rather that I'll feel everyone. And just as everyone thinks, I'll think the same instantly. Meaning, there has to be one mind and one heart, one desire for all. How could this be? Only if the Creator, the Upper Light, will come and settle within us and fulfill all of us together equally. This demand is what is called prayer or raising man, and then comes the light and fulfills us. The same light that has departed now approaches us and fulfills us. And then we come to the corrected state. But we
we've attained this state. We felt a need in attaining it. We've examined it. We've revealed it. We've built it. Only the upper force was lacking. Only the light was lacking to come and fulfill our desires. This is how we went through the Arvut, through the Rishimot, through raising man and prayer. What else you requested to know? Ashpa'a is when I want to fulfill the deficiency of the other, that I want to rotate, to move alongside with him. How can that be? Let's say there are two cogwheels and we want to rotate together. This way, to rotate together. How will I rotate myself? How will I move myself? That's me. How will I move alongside with the other accordingly, that I want to help him, that I want to support him. I need to incorporate with him, to receive from him his emotions, his mind and intellect, everything that we can understand the other, feel the other. That's what I need to receive from him. How is it done? We learn that each and every one is incorporated, integrated from two parts. And that's how we enter, one inside the other. Each and every one inside the other. In such a way that I need to penetrate the heart of the other, to receive what he wants within my heart, and then to start implementing. Just like, let's say, a mother that lives inside her child, feels her child, is incorporated from his desire. Whatever he wants, she does. That's how we need to connect and incorporate and enter one inside the other, so that each and every one will feel the desire of the other, can realize the desire of the others, and realize it. That's how each and every one has to be within the others. What eventually turns out is that I need to incorporate with everyone who are the rest. The others, and that's me. And that's how I'm with respect to the others, and he with respect to everyone, and she's with respect to everyone. That how here, by doing so, each and every one of us acquires the desires and the thoughts of everyone. This is why each and every one becomes like the whole world. That's called incorporation. When each and every one is incorporated, integrated from the others. Arvut, we also spoke about it. Shechina. Our entire general kli, all of our desires, all of our thoughts, all of our aspirations and yearnings, everything that was created by the Creator is only one big desire. And this one big desire is a place for the light to come and fulfill. The light that comes and fulfills is called Shochen, from the word settles, dwells inside this kli. Shochen. And this desire inside which the light enters, penetrates, is called Shechina. I don't know how to write it. Shechina, well, this is the minus. It's like a woman, and it's like a man who fulfills her. Meaning all of our vessels, all of us, together with respect to the Creator, we're Shechina. We're a female, a Kli, that we eventually demand Him to come and fulfill us. Why are we called a female? From the word Nekev in Hebrew, which is a deficiency, a hole, a deficiency. Something empty. When we feel that it has to be fulfilled. And what fulfills us is the upper light. Shechina. Ishtokekut. Yearning. We'll study the whole wisdom of Kabbalah this way. You won't have anything to study tomorrow. The desire that was created by the Creator, we draw it this way. This is the desire itself. I write desire. It was created by the Creator. And the Creator also filled that desire with light. Filled it with light. And the state is called, because the entire desire that we had came from the Creator. Everything was filled by the light. But both the desire and the light, the fulfillment comes from the Creator. There is no creature here. No creation. This is why the Creator takes the light out. And leaves the Kli empty. And it stays empty. This way. That's called the light restricted itself, made a restriction. Why did the light do so? So that this desire, this Kli, would desire to bring back the light himself. I had something tasty even beforehand. I'm currently see the friend. And he brings me something to taste. And he says that it's very tasty, you don't know, it's something unbelievable. Just taste it, I have no desire for it. But because he says, I'm willing to taste it, I count on him, because he knows that it's good. I take it and I taste it. And by doing so, I feel a certain flavor. And this flavor which I taste is called the light of Nefesh. Because I've received this pleasure passively. It was given to me. The Creator created the desire to receive and fulfilled it. And this is why the pleasure is called Nefesh. After I've tasted it, the friend left. The light departed, and I start feeling that I want it myself. No, I want it. I'm the one who wants it. I want it so much. I start to yearn. That's called hishtokikut. A yearning, a desire comes from above, and later from me comes an addition, when I run after this pleasure. and I want to bring it back. Now, when I run and bring this pleasure back to me, I don't feel it as the light of Nefesh, as something weak. I feel it according to my huge chisaron. Ah. And then it's called Naran Chai. Because the pleasure is measured according to my desire. It might be that there are plenty of things before me, but I don't want to eat them. I have no appetite. Or there's something, I don't know, small, simple sandwich. But I'm so hungry that I find thousands of flavors within the sandwich. This is why we're saying that the light has no measure. Rather, the kli, the desire, plus the yearning, differentiates pleasures within the light. This builds 125 degrees within the light. This is why until we won't want the light in a complete, perfect manner, it won't be revealed to us. That's called the condition of the Tzimtzum, of the Machsom, that we will reach the true yearning towards the Creator, towards the light, then it will be open to us. Will be revealed to us. Do we have something else? That was Ishtokikut. The Tisata Metziut, perception of reality, we already spoke about it. It is a very, very complicated topic. One should already have some gentleness of the soul in order to somehow materialize it. A person has to feel that he's integrated from several layers. He has to have exists both from within and from without. He has to be incorporated from both worlds. Sometimes he falls only to his sensation of self here, and sometimes he already feels something that is found outside of him. All the exercises that we make in order to incorporate with the friends, by which we're trying to exit ourselves and to be within the others, it is all in all in order to exit ourselves to the external world, to the outer world, to exit this beast. And to feel what's bound outside of us. Because the degree of the human is a spiritual degree. We're not called human beings. We're not called Adam. According to Kabbalah, we are beasts or animals. Animals. Adam is one who resembles the Creator. We already start feeling it. We already have the perception of the external reality. Because besides the person, exists only the Creator. Until we start to feel that the human being is also found within the Creator, and besides the Creator, There is none else besides Him. You are tired. It's only the beginning, you know that. So what we'll do next? It's greater pleasure being in the workshops, right? You enjoy more the workshops, don't you? Yes? You wanna rotate and turn and we'll make another workshop? Yes or no? Yes? Maybe we'll do such a workshop that each and every group, I will do it later. Each and every group will prepare true questions that you would like to scrutinize. We'll do it later. We are left with another big concept bestowal that we didn't scrutinize yet. That's very important. We drew here. You remember what's this drawing about? That I am incorporated with the whole world, with everyone, with their desires, with their thoughts, with their minds and hearts, and it all becomes mine. It all becomes as one. And then I become like the whole of reality, like the whole world, with respect to the Creator. How do I do that? When I incorporate in them, when I am willing to receive their deficiencies, their desires, their thoughts, like a mother that is incorporated from her children. Once they were within her, inside her, then she gave birth to them. And it does not mean that they went out of her, because she still feels them within. Internally, mentally, that's how she feels that they exist within her. So when we relate to others, this is how we incorporate, when we incorporate with everyone else, that's called incorporation. When we come to a state in which we want to bestow upon them. To everyone, 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 everyone. To bestow. To all the souls, to all the desires which are outside of us. But in order to bestow, I have to have something to give. What can I give? And then it turns out that I receive here from the Creator a huge light, the light of Ensof, which is passing through me to everyone. So I, with respect to the others, become like the Creator. I bestow and I fulfill everyone. I feel everyone and fulfill everyone. And that's how each and every one of us, with respect to the others, this is why we're all so different. That no one can be instead of the other. Each and every one has the opportunity, the possibility to be something special in his own unique part. To connect to others and to give them what only he can give. And in this part, he is like the creator with respect to them. This is why the wisdom of Kabbalah says that we are forbidden to pressure a person, to subordinate him. Rather, education has to be free. Only to learn about the ravut, the mutual guarantee, mutual help, mutual fulfillment, mutual consideration. Because if you dictate something else to a person, then you are ruining his ability to be properly connected to others, to give the world what only he can give, to be like the Creator with respect to the world, to rise to the level of the Creator on his own. So we've clarified the concept of bestow. It is when a person bestows upon the others, and then he receives all the light for that is meant for the others from the Creator, and it's all passing through him, and he feels like the Creator with respect to everyone else. And then what he bestows upon the others is called bestow. And in order to bring that person to such an ability, we ought to bring him to education. Educação. Meaning without suppression. Without coercion. That's called educate the infant according to his path. Develop within him what already exists within. And don't pressure, and don't force, and don't break. That's a very special kind of education. We need to learn how to educate the others this way. But if we will educate our children this way, they will be truly complete and successful. They will easily feel the concealed force, the force that is concealed within nature, because we learn them how to unite with others easily, how to bond with them, how to start sensing this general force. This is why we give them tools to be close to the light. And that's our special education. A person in our world does not lack a thing besides knowing how to connect to others. Then he will definitely succeed in everything, because this is the correction of the world. And everything else we do, we only rotate ourselves, roam ourselves, and confuse ourselves. It seems to us as if we succeed, but then we see that we did the opposite. That we've reached a crisis, and even worse, trouble. And that's how it is, time after time. Well, that's how we went through everything you asked us to study. What else do you want? Besides sleeping? Well? Well! Song! Which song? Now we have a short break, 15 minutes, drink good coffee to be strong enough, and then the workshop. Okay? I just want to tell you, Rabash, my teacher, did to us and to his students such an exercise once a week. In the day off, we used to come at 2:30 a.m. We've studied until 10 a.m. From 10 till 11, we had a small meal, some cake, wine. We went home by foot. It was already 12. 1:30 we had the next lesson. Meaning you are able to come home to say hello and return. Return. The lesson was until something like 3:30 p.m. Then you have again a break, what was called a break, something like an hour. Who lived far didn't go home. He didn't have the powers to do it. He fell asleep on the bench or something, if there was room on the bench. And some went home, and then we returned. And that's how we did until 9 p.m. At 9 p.m., we went home after another lesson to something like an hour and a half. We returned at 10:30 p.m. And until 12 a.m., we had another activity. We've studied or we had a conversation. We went home. And to return at 3 a.m. for the morning lesson. Once a week. And I am telling you, I was next to him for 12 years. It's like in the army. It gives you such a training that later there are no problems. You just don't know in which world you're at. No, go to a break.